It is Thursday, 10, 11, 12, and this is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Christina Thomas. KUAF is supported by the Center for Arkansas and Regional Studies at the University of Arkansas in Fayetteville, dedicated to the celebration and documentation of the region's history and culture.
Support for KUAF also comes from the Botanical Garden of the Ozarks Summer Concert Series. The 2012 season closes with Three Penny Acre tonight, beginning at 6. Lawn chairs and picnics are welcome at the free family-friendly event. More information available at bgozarks.org or 750-2620.
In just a few minutes on Ozarks, a classroom with a great view. I'll spend some time with students at Devil's Den as part of a project to improve outdoor education.
Plus, an IRS deadline more than 90,000 Arkansans should care about. And inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio, Yaniv Talbenhaus and Rodham Sivan play piano and guitar, respectively.
First, the Arkansas Department of Environmental Quality yesterday began a watershed conference. The conference runs through tomorrow, and spokeswoman Catherine Beninati says the forum, titled Water, Our Living Treasure, is open for teachers, environmental professionals, and anyone who wants to learn more about stormwater runoff, water quality, pollution reduction, and other water issues.
We're excited to hear people's ideas, and Arkansas is such a unique place. We have so many watersheds and they're so important to the state, so we're excited to be having this conference.
Beninati says there will be an environmental grant workshop, tours at various facilities, including Janet Huckabee River Valley Nature Center, and various seminars. Registration is closed, but the public is still invited to attend. People can learn more at the ADEQ website.
Yesterday, a group of between 1 and 200 protesters gathered outside of the Walmart corporate headquarters in Bentonville. The group was comprised of union advocates and striking workers from stores in Washington, D.C., Los Angeles, and Dallas, who are calling for changes at the company. Among the list of demands, organizers say they are requesting that Walmart end what they call retaliation against employees who speak out in favor of changes of the company's labor policies. Protesters have given Walmart the deadline of Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, to address their list of demands. If no action is taken, striking worker Colby Harris says protesters are ready to take a variety of actions.
It can range from anywhere from a strike to rallies. In anything that we see necessary to get our point across, we're going to do. We want them to know that. We're going to take whatever step, whatever nonviolent step that we have to get our point across.
The protests in front of the Bentonville headquarters came as executives inside held the company's 19th annual financial analyst meeting. According to TalkBusiness.net, Walmart unveiled its holiday retail prospects during the meeting, stating the company had $400 million worth of goods in layaway as of yesterday. That's about half of last year's total in just the first few weeks of the program. Investors seemed receptive to the news. Walmart stock price yesterday closed up 1% at $75.42.
A recently completed study finds that the nonprofit arts and culture sector is a significant player in the economy of Northwest Arkansas. The study, conducted by the nonprofit Americans for the Arts and released by the Walton Arts Center yesterday, found that the area's culture economy creates nearly 1,500 full-time jobs, generates $4 million in government revenue, and generates $46 million in total economic impact. Those figures are nearly triple of where they were when the study was last completed in 2005. Beth Goodwin is the public relations manager for the Walton Arts Center. She says that people who attend arts or culture events spend additional money in the area.
So the average person spends about $20 above the cost of a ticket when they attend an arts and cultural event, while the average tourist, which is considered just, you know, anyone outside of Northwest Arkansas, spends an additional $36. So that's a huge impact. And, of course, mostly it's lodging and transportation and restaurants and that type of thing, but all of those add up.
The study compares Northwest Arkansas to other areas of similarly sized populations.
Compared to others of our similar size, we're at or above those averages for jobs, government revenue, and total economic impact. And then we're also above in jobs and government revenue compared to the national numbers. So these are really, really good numbers overall.
Goodwin says that while the numbers in the area are good, it found that most of the people spending on the arts in the area are locals, leaving room for further economic growth. She also says that the results of the study give more weight to the Walton Arts Center's plans to expand its facilities in Fayetteville, as well as its plans for a new facility in Bentonville.
Should remain overcast tonight. 80% chance of thunderstorms and rain showers, a low in the mid to upper 50s in northwest Arkansas. Clouds in the Arkansas River Valley tonight as well, with a 50% chance of rain, lows in the mid-60s. Tomorrow, overcast throughout the region. Highs will be in the mid-70s throughout the region as well. 60% chance of rain tomorrow, northwest Arkansas, possibly a thunderstorm. Just a 30% chance of Friday showers for the River Valley. And Friday night, partly cloudy, slight chance of rain. Lows in the mid-50s in northwest Arkansas. Lows tomorrow night, mid-60s for the Arkansas River Valley.
Alabama law firm has filed a class action lawsuit against both the chemical company that produces arsenic compounds and certain poultry integrators that mix arsenic into their feed, alleging the poultry litter has poisoned Arkansas rice farms that use the litter as fertilizer. Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich reports.
The lawsuit was filed late last month in circuit court in Stuttgart, Arkansas, by the law firm Harwin Newell and Newton, based in Birmingham, Alabama. Partner Scott Powell.
Yes. Well, it's actually three class representatives are filing it on behalf of all the Arkansas rice farmers. The complaint alleges that the commercial crop, rice crop industry, commercial rice crop, was contaminated with arsenic due to the negligence of not only Pfizer but Tyson, and it's caused the market value, the market price of rice to drop. And the farmers are losing revenue and income as a result of the depressed prices in the rice industry.
Arkansas ranks first among six major rice-producing states, growing approximately one-half of the nation's rice supply on 1.3 million irrigated acres each year. It also is the world's fifth-largest exporter of rice. Rice is the state's second highest value commodity, contributing more than $1 billion to the state's economy, accounting for thousands of jobs. That's according to the USA Rice Federation. The complaint alleges that elevated levels of inorganic arsenic found in Arkansas-grown rice can be traced to rice farmers' use of chicken litter as fertilizer in their rice fields. The rice growers allege that poultry integrators knew the arsenic-tainted manure would contaminate the entire U.S. rice crop and infiltrate the general U.S. rice supply, and that public news about such arsenic contamination would result in devastating financial losses to U.S. and Arkansas rice producers. Hare, Wynn, Newell, and Newton, according to their website, as courtroom litigators, have accrued more than $100 million in verdicts in 2010 alone from major corporations such as Bayer Crop Science and Ford Motor Company. And they seek compensatory damages in this case as well.
Yes, compensatory damages for the depressed value and the loss of income that the farmers sustain as a result of the contamination. And perhaps punitive damages, depending on what this course of discovery reveals as to the extent and severity of the conduct causing the contamination.
No monetary figures are being discussed yet. The lawsuit names additional defendants, including Simmons Foods, based in Siloam Springs, George's Farm, based in Springdale, and Peterson Farms in Decatur. Pilgrim's Pride, headquartered in Greeley, Colorado, is also included. The named plaintiffs in the class action suit are Mark and Joyce Hargrove of DeWitt and John Alter and Kenneth Graves, who operate farms in Arkansas County. Word of the lawsuit follows a widely publicized Consumer Reports study indicating elevated levels of arsenic in the U.S. rice supply, especially in white rice grown in Arkansas and other nearby states. The author suggests that consumers limit the consumption of rice products. The Arkansas Rice Federation, as well as Arkansas Governor Mike Beebe, however, challenged that study. A federation official said that arsenic is a naturally occurring element in our air, water, rocks, and soil, and no arsenic-based pesticides are used in rice cultivation. However, at the time, the connection between arsenic-laced poultry litter fertilizer was little discussed in the media. In an emailed response for this report, Tyson Foods spokesperson Gary Michelson said, although they are reviewing the lawsuit, quote, it appears to be an example of creative lawyers trying to use frivolous litigation to extract money from companies that have done nothing wrong. We will vigorously defend ourselves, end quote. Tyson Foods suspended use of arsenic in its poultry feed back in the summer of 2004 due to public concerns. Arsenic, however, like phosphorus, also used in poultry feed to beef up birds, can persist in soil for years. While the U.S. Food and Drug Administration has set strict limits on arsenic in poultry meat, it has not set any limits on concentrations of arsenic in rice. The FDA, however, has tested nearly 200 samples of rice and rice products and found elevated levels of arsenic, particularly in brown rice and brown rice cereals, cakes, and crackers. Although ubiquitous in the environment, chronic exposure to arsenic, a heavy metal sourced from charcoal, has been linked to various cancers, cardiovascular disease, hypertension, and diabetes. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
Funny is as funny does.
Well, I can play something else. I can play my lips.
Andreas Peterson, ladies and gentlemen.
So I learned that in college.
And they said it wasn't worth your time. Chuckle along with me this week on Michael Feldman's What Do You Know? From PRI, Public Radio International.
What Do You Know with Michael Feldman, Saturday morning at 10, right after Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me on KUAF 91.3 FM.
But guys, the main reason we came out here is we wanted to expose you guys to a great place to come play that's close to your home, great car camping. There's great, I guess you can call it backcountry camping. It's a walk-in site.
That's Jeff Belk, a teacher at Rogers High School. He's speaking to a group of 40 students at the head of Yellow Rock Trail in Devil's Den State Park. Jeff is the founder of an outdoor education program. This outing, on a perfect fall morning, is the first of many that will get the students out of the classroom and into the great outdoors. This unique course got its start while Jeff was getting his master's at the University of Arkansas back in 1998.
I had to do my master's thesis, and I thought it would be interesting to do some research on outdoor education in public schools and what's out there and how kids would respond to a more active style of learning. And so started doing my research in a lot of middle schools and high schools, and students had almost no experience in the outdoors and with the environmental science or recreational learning, and so that was kind of the birth of this class.
The world of technology is ever expanding, making it easy for kids to stay indoors and difficult to get them outdoors. Jeff started small, beginning with teaching about fly fishing, tying in the environmental science related to it, like what the fish eat and what those bugs mean for the health of a stream. Rogers High School originally hired him to be a physics teacher, but allowed him to develop a curriculum for his outdoor education plan. He built and built it, trying to relate science to PE activities, now teaching this course full-time. What was once a semester course is now a full year. Students can elect to take the course to count for both PE and science credits. Remembering back to high school gym class, it is easy to see why this class grew in popularity.
Immediately, once we started this class at Rogers, it, you know, had a maximum enrollment. It was so popular that we created the outdoor club so that other students would have the same opportunities, and we would do fun things on the weekends. And the outdoor club started growing, and we had 600 or 700 kids in attendance at our first club meeting. And so we do weekend trips, and we have alternative kinds of sports. We have paintball and trap shooting, archery, bass fishing, adventure races, a lot of other things that we started doing for the kids on weekends.
Other districts have recognized the importance of outdoor recreation. Jeff's curriculum is now in 6 districts in Northwest Arkansas. The districts pay for the program, and Jeff trains the teachers. He was recently approached by a group out of Dallas that would like to implement the class in 300 schools across Texas next year.
So we needed some way to move this curriculum throughout the country and make it easier and not have to go through a school board for every decision. So we developed this nonprofit, and CARE stands for Conservation and Recreation Education. And that's not really done in schools. And so that's why we think this class is so successful. It's very innovative, and it's very different what we're going to do is people around the country will pay a small price for the curriculum, and then they get trained, they get all of their certifications they need to teach the class, and then we provide them with funding opportunities, and then we also provide them with some funding. So, and the more business that we have, the more funding we'll be able to provide. So.
Outdoor Care already has a slew of sponsors, Cabela's and Daisy Guns, to name a couple. The CARE program has been recognized by both National and Arkansas Wildlife Federations, as well as the Arkansas Environmental Education Association. The day's field trip took 40 of the nearly 250 enrolled at Rogers High on a hike to Yellow Rock, the infamous overlook at Devil's Den. I hiked in with Jeff. As we approached the overlook, a student handed him some trash she had picked up along the trail, having been taught to leave things the same, if not better, than she had found them. This is also where I spoke with Isaac Guevara, a senior.
Why did you sign up for this class?
Well, one of the particular reasons why I signed up for this class is because I love the outdoors and I love science. I just love the major consequences of being in science. So far, I've learned about different things, about water purification and a lot of different things about the outdoors, how to hunt, how to kill with bows, like for deers. Been pretty fun, pretty great experience.
Isaac plans to be an architect. He mentioned water purification. After hiking back down the mountain, the students perform water quality testing with water they gather from Lee Creek, the stream that runs through Devil's Den. Jeff, their teacher, passes out clear plastic bags. Each bag contains a different type of water test. The group I joined was testing for chlorine.
Water quality test.
We're filling up, we fill the tube to 5 millimeters, and then we put in this pill right here.
It's chlorine.
We beat it's chlorine here, and Gus is on the road again.
How long am I supposed to shake it for?
5 minutes.
5 minutes? Whoa, that's a long time.
It's a little pinkish.
It's a little bit. A
little bit, but not much. Almost.
There's hardly any.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
But there's a little bit. Here, put it in there.
After the water testing, the group continues hiking. On this leg, I join Sean Flanagan. He's the head football coach at Rogers High, but is also Jeff's partner in teaching.
I mean, I've always loved being outside, hiking and camping, fishing and doing all those things, and just kind of lucked into this class. When I was hired as football coach, had an undecided teaching field. And then this came open, so I was able to slide in there and take it over.
He says this course is a great way to get kids outside and to get them out of their comfort zone, to try things they normally wouldn't have the opportunity to do.
We go rock climbing in this class, fly fishing, sport fishing, canoeing, and of all those things, if those kids are going to do anything, they might jump in a canoe one day. But to learn the paddle strokes and to know how to do it correctly, get the opportunity to test their own courage on a rock wall, it's just, it's a life-changing event for a lot of them. And we've had numerous kids that come back and say, hey, you know, that made such a difference in my life, or because of this class, I'm going to go into a field where I can do something like this, whether this is that's work at an outfitter or a retail store, but something with the outdoors. It's just cool, gives kids chances.
One such student is Jaden.
Well, I'm a nature person, and I love outdoors. I like everything about it. I'm really into photography, and so I thought coming out here and doing being an outdoor ed would be a really great experience for me, that I would get to see all the different places and this different scenery where I would be able to do photography. I have like a dream to be with National Geographic, and I think find all the cool places in Arkansas and other places to do that would be a really great experience.
Keep your eyes peeled for her photo credit. To find out more about Outdoor Care, contact Jeff Belk at jgbelk@yahoo.com.
It is Thursday, October 11th, 2012. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Christina Thomas.
Becca Martin Brown from Northwest Arkansas Newspapers with us again.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello. Why are we here?
That's an existential question.
It is an existential question, but where we should be is at Mulberry Mountain.
Oh, Harvest.
Harvest Festival starts today, now renamed the Yonder Mountain String Band's Harvest Music Festival.
Right.
Bands like Mountain Sprout, Dirtfoot, the Punch Brothers, Dead Man Flats, and of course the Yonder Mountain String Band.
And Delta Ray. Delta Ray. They're a good one to see.
Okay. Take Kyle's word. I just know that performances start at 2 o'clock today. It's about 16 miles north of Ozark on Arkansas 23. And tickets start at $65-ish for a single day pass.
Yeah, and you can get the wristband that gets you in the whole kit and caboodle.
Right.
The whole weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And you can keep up with Kevin Kinder, the What's Up Music Writer, at nwatunedin.com or on Twitter, because he'll tell you everything going on at the mountain.
You can camp, but if you stay sober and you're not a sleepy driver, it's not a bad thing to go back and forth.
Oh, no, not at all.
Yeah,
easy
it's
drive.
Not, right.
Also tonight at 6 o'clock, there's the final concert on the lawn of the summer at the Botanical Garden of the Ozarks in Fayetteville, a band you might have heard of.
Summer.
I love how they define summer. I'm on that ticket.
Well, I think I defined summer okay. that way.
Okay.
It's Three Penny Acre.
Oh, yes.
At 6 o'clock for free.
Be a lot of fun.
And Midwest Winds will perform tonight at 7:30 at the Stella Boyle Smith Concert Hall at the University of Arkansas, and that, too, is free.
All right. Thank you, Becca.
Not a bad itinerary.
Becca Martin Brown is features editor with Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
150 years ago, the Confederate Army of West Tennessee attacked the Union Army of the Mississippi on October 3 and 4, 1862, seeking to gain control of the strategic rail yards at Corinth, Mississippi. When the Confederates retreated on the 4th, 4,838 of their 22,000 men were casualties. Many of the rebels were veterans of the war west of the Mississippi, and Arkansas units suffered 83 killed, 447 wounded, and 498 missing at Corinth. Among the wounded was a young second lieutenant from Company E, 16th Arkansas Infantry. James K. Berry of Carrollton would lose his right leg and spend time as a Union prisoner of war before coming home. After the war, he became a teacher, lawyer, and politician, and, in 1883, the 14th governor of Arkansas. To learn more about Arkansas history and the 150th anniversary of the American Civil War, visit ArkansasCivilWar150.com. The Arkansas Civil War Sesquicentennial Commission is an agency of the Department of Arkansas Heritage. I'm Mark Christ.
This is Ozarks at Large. October is a month with deadlines. This week was the deadline to register to vote in Arkansas. Next week, the deadline to pay property taxes. And if you filed an extension before April 15th on your federal income taxes, the deadline to file is Monday. About 91,000 Arkansans requested an extension this year. David Stell is a spokesman for the Internal Revenue Service in Arkansas and Oklahoma. David, welcome back to Ozarks at Large.
Thank you very much.
So what if someone is one of the 91,000 in Arkansas that requested an extension? What now?
Well, we hope that a lot of those folks have already filed. But if you're coming down to these last few days here, this is it. There are no more extensions beyond October 15th. So if you cannot get your tax return filed by then, it's going to be late and there's going to be penalties that you probably don't want to pay. So it's crunch time. We certainly recommend people try electronic filing, including free electronic filing through the IRS website to make the job easier.
I think what happens sometimes right before the April deadline and then this extended deadline is some people, the deadline catches up with them and they may hurry through. But there are some things that people should check out before they file, right?
Well, yes, absolutely. I mean, if you're preparing your return now at what would be a second crunch time for this year, maybe the first crunch time for those who are just getting it filed, it's always good to have someone else look over your tax return and make sure that, they can check your math for you and make sure it's accurate. Electronic filing eliminates a lot of those errors, by the way. But, you know, now is a good time to have, the best shot you can at doubling up on everything, checking everything, including Social Security numbers. That's a very important thing to get right.
I know that Arkansas taxpayers annually leave quite a bit on the table when it comes to the earned income tax credit. It's not too late to find out if you or your family qualifies for that.
Absolutely. The Earned Income Tax Credit is pretty valuable. It's worth well over $5,000 to some people, and it's generally available to people with children, although some single people without children can qualify as well. More information on that is available on the IRS website at irs.gov/EITC.
Now, what if someone has put together their taxes, they're ready to file, but they owe more than they can afford perhaps at this time? Any help there?
Well, yes, yeah, we certainly can help with that. The advice is, if you owe money, send in as much as you can when you file your tax return. But even if that's not a dollar, send in your tax return on time to avoid a late filing penalty. We can help people with things like tax payment plans for those who qualify for that. And also, you know, those payment plans can be requested and set up online. You can do that automatically through an interactive feature on the IRS website, irs.gov.
And what if someone is filing this extended deadline, which is October 15th, and they're owed money?
If you're owed money, you're going to get a refund. There is no late penalty or interest on a refund tax return. We'll get your refund turned around and get it back to you just as quickly as we can.
Any other questions? There's help online or on the phone?
There is help online at irs.gov, or give us a call at 800-TAX-1040. 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., Monday through Friday.
David Stell is the IRS spokesman for Arkansas and Oklahoma. David, thank you very much.
Thank you, Kyle.
Syria's civil war spilled across the northern border last week when what may have been a stray mortar bomb killed five Turkish civilians and triggered days of cross-border artillery fire. Now NATO says it's ready to defend a member of the alliance. I'm Neil Cunha, the spillover from Syria, plus Fiscal Cliff 101. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Talk of the Nation, this afternoon at 1 on KUAF 91.3 FM.
This is Ozarks at Large. Earlier this week, two musical guests came to the Furman Garner Performance Studio.
My name is Yaniv Taubenhaus.
And I'm Rotem Sivan.
Yaniv Taubenhaus, who lives in Fayetteville, sat at the Mary Baker Rumsey Steinway piano in the studio. And Rotem Sivan, who lives in New York, was seated nearby, cradling his reddish Gibson guitar. They'll perform tonight, with Steve Wilkes on drums, at Legacy Blues in Fayetteville. They've known each other and played music with each other for several years. They met when they were still both teenagers during a recording session in Tel Aviv. Yaniv Taubenhaus says that time in the studio led to a musical friendship.
And we've kept in touch. I try to go to New York as much as I can, so whenever I'm up there, we hang out, and he comes to Israel, then we meet in Israel. And we keep in touch, and we talk about music, so it kind of goes hand to hand.
When the two musicians came to Furman Garner this week, I asked Rotem about his electric guitar, a beautiful instrument that he uses to make wonderful music.
It's a Howard Roberts. That's the model. It's a little bit less known, I guess. They made it around the 70s. Mine is from 74. And it's Howard Roberts is a great guitar player. He designed it. And it feels great. Just the proportion are really comfortable for me. And also for some reason it's not being thought as a collector item, although it's kind of vintage. So it's interesting just because it doesn't have F-holes, I think. But I love it. It has a little bit of acoustic vibe as well.
It is a very warm sound. Before we started this conversation, you were kind of warming up, and there's a very warm yet robust sound to it.
Yeah, that's exactly what I like. It has that wood kind of a feel, like something more, I would say, acoustic than electric on a certain level, which I'm looking for.
So when you play, you have your instrument. You take it with you. And Eve, a pianist does not have that luxury.
That's true. it's a tragedy, and also it's a great fortune because we don't have to carry this around. And I think growing up playing piano for so many years, you just kind of get used to it, you know? And it's funny because, you know, when you get used to playing your instrument, if you're a guitar player, a bass player, or a drummer, in your reality frame, it becomes much harder to play other instruments. But in our reality frame, we kind of know that that's just the way it is.
It's interesting. Also, I agree. You know, we, as a guitar player, I'm not used to play. I mean, I play different, you know, friends and colleagues' guitar sometimes. But the thing that always amazed me is that in jam sessions, you know, I go to jam sessions and just play. And you always have a different amp, and sometimes it's not the greatest amp, or the amp doesn't really work with your guitar. And that there is a certain cycle, which, you know, you play your instrument and it feels, you know, like it used to feel yesterday. But after you play with it like a different amp, the you hear the sound and it just feels different. I'm not sure why, but it just works like that. That the sound we get is the way we feel on the instrument. So it's a very tricky cycle. For me as a guitar player, like there are certain places I would prefer to go and play in jam sessions because I know the amp is better or I feel more comfortable, although it's, you would say, but it's the same guitar, right? But it's there is a very interesting cycle going on between the sound that we hear and the way we play. It's a very delicate balance.
You respect each other's playing. You enjoy playing. Do you have similar tastes in what you play?
I would say definitely yes, and it's a big part of our musical friendship. You know, we played a few days ago at Fresco Cafe, and one of the ladies that was listening came to me afterwards, and she was like, why are you guys looking at each other all the time whenever you play something? And it's because, you know, it's like, you know, saying something and you know that you're going to reach the person, you know, so it's almost like as if I want to look at him and see what his expression would be to what I've just said.
So there's communication going on.
Oh, definitely.
The whole time.
Yeah.
Through eyes and hands.
And ears.
Yeah. And ears, yeah. Of course, yes. Well, we have the Mary Baker Rumsey Steinway here, Yaniv, and you have your guitar. Do you mind playing something?
I would love to.
What will you play?
I Should Care.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Thank you. Rotem Sivan, guitar. He lives in New York City. And Yaniv Tabenhaus, he lives in Fayetteville. He played the Mary Baker Rumsey Steinway inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio. They'll perform tonight, along with Steve Wilkes on drums, at Legacy Blues in Fayetteville. It is Thursday, October 11th, 2012. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Christina Thomas.
And with us inside the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio is Jody Beznoska. She is Vice President for Communications at Walton Art Center.
Hello.
Hello.
It's worth pointing out that today is 10/11/12.
Yes, it is.
I just think that's awesome.
And we've already missed it this morning, but tonight you'll have a chance when it's 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
Why is that cool?
I don't know.
I don't know why
is.
That's fun, but it's fun. I love it.
Can we make a wish? You know how you used to always make a wish? 11/11.
Yes. Sure.
We absolutely should make a wish.
Okay.
More wishes are always good.
Yes.
Well, how was Don Williams?
Don Williams was out of this world fantastic.
Good.
Just his voice is not as good as it's ever been, but better. Mm. And he had a quiet but nice rapport with the audience. And something you don't see that much, and it's always fun when you do, spontaneous standing ovation.
Yeah.
Were you there?
No, but I heard.
I mean, after he sang I Believe, which is a fantastic song, about half the crowd.
Aww.
And, you know, standing ovation has become sort of de rigueur that you have to do it for the encore.
Yep.
When you see people do it just because they can't sit down.
Ugh, I love that.
It was a great show. And Janae Fleener was there,
hometown
kid, playing the fiddle. It was fantastic.
Oh, good. Such a good night.
Yeah, it really
was. Very neat. Well, and we'd also like to thank everyone who came out to the Kathy Thompson opening last week, which was also quite a lot of fun. The exhibition is up. It looks fantastic. This is our 20 years exhibition. This is featuring 20 of Kathy's H boxes that sort of, I wouldn't say they chronicle Walton Art Center's history, because that's a little too literal, but they reflect on Walton Art Center's history, and they're delightful. And one of the fun things about that exhibition is I believe we have a playlist that we've created that features music and songs from our 20-year history, which is pretty fun. I think it's playing in the gallery as you walk through and observe.
Is there a written copy of that?
I think so.
Oh,
yes.
Cool.
Yeah. So that's really fun. But so Kathy's work is up right now, and we also have the wonderful exhibition called My Folklore, which is by I think she's from Fort Worth, artist named Letitia Huckabee. And both of those are up, and they're open, to the public, so you can come by and see them at the Arts Center during our regular business hours and then prior to all of our shows. And speaking of shows, next week we will be doing the second two performances, the second and third performance of our 10 by 10 art series. So on the 18th, we will have the first of two Caravan Sarai performances. Now, this is a partnership with the university and the King Fahd Center, which we are really excited about. We're one of only four communities in the country that have received funding for this particular kind of project. And have you guys learned what Caravan Sarai means?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, we have.
Meeting point.
Yeah. Meeting point where it's
caravans.
Yeah, where it's safe and friendly and where you can exchange culture and ideas, which is such a lovely concept, I think.
And where you might and probably will hear an electric oud.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This one is going to be really interesting. Mm-hmm. So this is let me see if I can say it right, because I've been hearing you guys say it right on the radio. It is the Majid Bekes Ganawa Ensemble.
Yes.
With Brahim Fribgani. Did I say it right? Brahim Fribgani.
Say it better than I do.
This is a group from Morocco, and they will do traditional Moroccan music that I understand has sounds and flavors that are precursors to the blues and the jazz here in the United States. So this is really fun. This is sort of what 10 by 10 is all about, exploring new cultures, seeing new things, hearing new things. And so that's going to be on the 18th. There will be a pre-show creative conversation prior to that, and most of those tickets are only $10 a piece.
Absolutely.
So can't miss out on that one. And then the following evening, speaking of not wanting to miss it. If you're a classical music fan, you should probably come down and see the Tokyo String Quartet perform at the WAC, because this will be their final tour.
If you don't see them here, there's a chance in Tulsa,
uh-huh.
then London, and Zurich, and Stockholm.
Okay.
So
I think I might try to catch the Zurich concert. Just
because.
Why not?
Yeah.
Right? No, this is going to be a treat, and they will be also on the 10x10 art series. So again, you can see the Tokyo String Quartet in their final tour for $10. Then the following week on the 26th, we will have LA Theater Works' Pride and Prejudice.
Another 10x10.
And this is a radio theater production of Pride and Prejudice. So LA Theater Works is a company we've had several times over the last few years, and they're a lot of fun. They are different. They're fully trained actors, and they're doing the show, and they're doing it, but they're often with scripts, and then you have live sound effects on the stage. So it's a different experience, a lot of fun. And then, of course, Halloween week, Shrek the Musical. It feels like we've been talking about this forever, and we have. But this one is great for the whole family. There are all kinds of discounts and offers available, especially on Halloween evening, because we're going to have trick-or-treating, and we're going to have a costume parade, and we're going to have lots of fun at Walton Arts Center on during that week. Well, so that's October. And then in November, let's just get a couple of shows on the list. We have the second show in our Starlight Jazz series, Jane Bennett and Hilario Duran, with special guest Candido Camero.
Which is a big deal.
That is a very big deal.
Big deal. That's 7 and 9 shows.
Correct. That's November 9th. And then on November 11th, which is Veterans Day, we have a really special show happening. That's a Sunday. And we have a show coming called Letters Home. And Letters Home is a theatrical piece that is based on actual written letters from soldiers writing home when they're serving in Iraq and Afghanistan. So it's very current. it seemed really appropriate that it's Veterans Day. And it's going to be a very sort of intense experience, obviously, but we're pretty excited to have it. It's neat to be programming that kind of thing on Veterans Day, where we get a chance to sort of reflect on these folks who are struggling with being deployed and also mm-hmm. coming home. So pretty excited for that one. And so that's just one to get on your calendars and mark your
WaltonArtsCenter.org.
Yes, WaltonArtsCenter.org, or 443-5600 for tickets. And, of course, you can come down and stop by the box office and visit us. Parking is free until 2 o'clock. So if you want to come in and see the exhibition in the gallery and grab some tickets, feel free.
Thank you, Jody.
Thank
Jody
you.
Beznoska is Vice President of Communications with Walton Arts Center.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday. It's the 11th of October, 2012. It's the birthday of a physicist, Lewis Fry Richardson, born Northumberland, England, 1881, the first to apply mathematical techniques to predict the weather accurately. Wrote a book about it in 1922, Weather Prediction by Numerical Process. The problem with the theory was that it took him about 3 months to predict the weather for the next 24 hours. It had to wait until the advent of the computer to work. It was on this day, 1962, Pope John XXIII convened the first session of the Second Vatican Council, Vatican II, as a result of which Catholics were allowed to pray with Protestants and go to weddings and funerals in Protestant churches. Priests were encouraged to perform Mass facing the congregation, and priests were allowed to perform Mass in languages other than Latin. It's the birthday of the novelist Elmore Leonard, New Orleans, 1925, started out writing westerns in the early 50s. His first novel, The Bounty Hunters, came out in 1953. Then, when the market for westerns seemed to be drying up, he set out to write crime novels. The first, The Big Bounce, came out in 1969 after it was rejected by 84 different publishers. Almost all of his books since then, including 52 Pickup, Get Shorty, Out of Sight, and most recently Djibouti, have been bestsellers. It's the birthday of François Mauriac, born in Bordeaux, France, 1885, most of his novels set in Bordeaux, became famous for his book A Kiss for the Leper. François Mauriac, who said, "I believe that only poetry counts. A great novelist is, first of all, a great poet." And it's the birthday of the founder of the YMCA, George Williams, 1821, Dulverton, England. He went to London, got a job in a draper's shop, and was horrified by living conditions. Young men coming in from the country find a job working 12 hours a day, 6 days a week, and their only entertainment, whatever they could find on the streets of London, streets filled with gamblers and drunks and prostitutes. He wanted to create a place where they could hang out and make friends and find recreation, and that was the first YMCA. Here's a poem for today by Richard Newman, entitled Bless Their Hearts. At Steak and Shake, I learned that if you add bless their hearts after their names, you can say whatever you want about them and it's okay. My son, bless his heart, is an idiot, she said. He rents storage space for his kids' toys. They're only 1 and 3 years old. I said, my father, bless his heart, has turned into a sentimental old fool. He gets weepy when he hears my daughter's greeting on our voicemail. Before our steak burgers came, someone else blessed her office mate's heart, then, as an afterthought, the jealous hearts of the entire anthropology department. We bestowed blessings on many a heart that day. I even blessed my ex-wife's heart. Our waiter, bless his heart, would not be getting much tip, for which, no doubt, he'd bless our hearts. In a week, it would be Thanksgiving, and we would each sit with our respective families, counting our blessings and blessing the hearts of family members, as only family does best. Oh, bless us all. Yes, bless us, please, bless us and bless our crummy little hearts. Richard Newman's poem, Bless Their Hearts, from Domestic Fugues, published by Steel Toe Books and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation. You can turn your iPhone or Android into a virtual poetry library with the Poetry Foundation's poetry app, available to everyone online at poetryfoundation.org. Produced by Kathy Roach and Nick Vetter. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Support for KUAF comes from the Botanical Garden of the Ozarks Summer Concert Series. The 2012 season closes with Threepenny Acre tonight. Lawn chairs and picnics are welcome at this free, family-friendly event. More information available at bgozarks.org or 750-2620.
Support for KUAF also comes from the 7th Annual Cherokee Art Market, featuring 130 Native American artists, along with interactive cultural demonstrations. It's this weekend inside Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Tulsa. More information is available at CherokeeArtMarket.com.
In my hands,
two tickets to the Avett Brothers.
Actually, two pairs of two tickets,
oh,
right?
Two pairs of two tickets.
Four
yes,
tickets
whoops.
Total. Yes, that's okay. Yesterday, I asked the question because it was the day after Leif Erikson Day and asked people to submit their answers at OzarksAtLarge@gmail.com. Most entries we've had since we've gotten to email easily. The question was, what year is it believed that Leif Erikson set foot on North America? Turns out when something happens 1,000 years ago,
it's debatable.
Yes. So here's the thing. Everyone got thrown in the pot. I was looking for 1,001, but there were other answers that were plausible and perhaps even better. So if you answered, you got in. Here we go. Jessica Rush, you have two tickets to see the Avett Brothers at the Amp Tuesday night. Heath, I hope I'm pronouncing your last name correctly, Heath Ray, R-H-E-A-Y. Heath, you have two tickets to see the Avett Brothers.
Congratulations.
Jessica and Heath, very well done. We're going to give away two more tickets Monday and Tuesday.
That's one pair.
One pair, right. So there's still a chance. And everyone who's already entered, you're going to be entered again, so don't worry. But we'll have another question that we'll ask Monday and give them away Tuesday at the last minute,
All right, or less.
Ozarks at Large, a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Christina Thomas.
This is KUAF.
91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Springdale, Fort Smith, and Roland, Oklahoma.
Roland, Oklahoma. I think that's the first time we've mentioned that. Very good. You and I back Sunday morning at 9 with Weekend Ozarks at Large.
Yes.
I'll be here by my lonesome tomorrow for a brand new edition of Ozarks at Large.